Welcome back to the Woodbury Report. This is where we talk with people helping struggling teens and young adults. I'm Lon Woodbury, an independent educational consultant located in North Idaho. And all the interviews in this series can be found at strugglingteens.com. Well, today is April 18th, 2016, and we're going to talk about females, girls, teen girls, finding their voice. My guest today is Trish Huntington. Trish is with the SUS of the Carolinas, that's S-U-W-S. She's been a wilderness counselor for 25 years, and for the last 5 years, exclusively working with girls. Good afternoon, or for you. Trish, good to have you here.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
Well, this is a very interesting topic. We're going to talk about helping female teens find their voice, and I think you're as well qualified as anybody. You've been a wilderness therapist for about 25 years. You've got a LMFT licensing, and the last 5 years have been exclusively with girls, working with the behavioral problem kids that go to the SUS of the Carolinas. So, topic is helping female teens find their voice. Now, I raised three daughters, four kids, one son, three daughters, and it seemed like I always heard their voices. So, just what do you mean by finding their voice?
Well, Lon, what I would say to that is what I'm looking for and looking to assist young women in doing is finding their authentic voice and being able to articulate what they're trying to say, understand their emotions, and advocate for what they believe in.
Mm-hmm. So what do you mean by authentic voice?
Great question. I think a lot of times due to societal pressures and backgrounds and maybe unresolved problems, I think that girls have a tendency to suppress their emotions, or I also like to call it stuffing. Mm-hmm. So they push their emotions away because maybe their emotions are uncomfortable or unfamiliar. And with that, what I like to see them do is start to identify that and then be able to later, with some practice, use assertive communication and to advocate or at least share openly about how they're feeling about a certain topic.
Okay, so you don't mean learning, teaching them how to be aggressive. I presume some of them are already aggressive in all the wrong ways. But talk a little bit more about authentic voice to really expressing yourself. I think what you're saying is that behind this behavioral problem kid, there's a real person that's struggling to get out, and that's the voice you're looking for.
Absolutely, right on target. I see this all or so much is that there may be a lot of times parents will say to me, I want to know where my daughter went, and I want my real daughter back, or the authentic person that mm-hmm. I know. And I think that a lot of times due to behaviors or events that have happened to them, such as bullying or peer pressure or, you know, just being involved in something that's unpleasant, I think that a lot of times girls just start to shut down. And what happens, because they're trying to not manage those emotions, and then they have to protect that. And once they protect that, then they build a wall. And that's when we see that aggressive language, like, I'm not telling you anything, or get away from me, I'm not talking to you, or that's the student that comes home from school, slams the door, and goes into their bedroom and texts all night long with no communication to the family.
Okay, and of course, they're not. That's not a good foundation for a successful adulthood, which is, I think, what you're trying to aim for.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that for these girls, in our society today, they are trying to make their way, and maybe they're somewhat misguided, and maybe they're trying to figure out how to say what they want, or maybe they feel intimidated, or maybe they feel like they can't articulate it. So my goal in working with these girls is to really help them feel emotionally safe, to feel that they have a full grasp on that emotion, and to feel comfortable in saying what they need to say and not just ignoring it because maybe they're self-conscious.
I think part of this is a societal change. I remember when I was in school, and that was quite a while ago, I'm a grandfather now, and the girls were basically expected to be homemakers, and they took home ec, and the boys took shop, and there were some definite sexual roles that society was pretty firm on. That's all changed, and so I presume that's part of the mix and the confusion that these girls are having is, who am I really?
Well, I would say that's the question that a lot of adolescents ask.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not exclusive to girls, but I think they may be manifested differently than boys do.
Sure, and we look at adolescents in the primary developmental stage of identity formation. And with that, you know, if they get involved in some sort of social media or something like that, they can have many different presentations. They can hide behind that, the anonymity of the social media, or the lack of the face-to-face contact in that. And I think, too, that there's just, you know, that is the time of questioning, and who am I going to be? How's that going to work out? What's everyone going to think?
Okay, so what's the solution? Let's try to answer that in the light of there might be some, hopefully there'll be some parents listening, and some hints of what you've learned that these girls need that maybe parents could be helpful. Be helpful to parents that might be dealing with their own daughters at home that are going through this. So how do you help them?
Great question. Well, I really believe that we have to, in order to help them speak, we have to listen. And that can be difficult if this is a challenging relationship. You know, if it's a traditional adolescent who's, you know, pretty verbally odd with their parent or at odds with their parent, I think that we need to really create safe space, safe boundaries for that student or that child to be able to express themselves and to kind of have those moments in time that are just for that talking, not for having an argument, but really hearing each other out. And also helping that child, if maybe, you know, through seeing a therapist or something of that, like, they can learn that emotional vocabulary and find a way to identify what's going on for them internally.
How would that, you talk about boundaries and safe place, how would that look like? Would it be just get them aside, take them out for a Coke or something, a milkshake or something like that, and talking or going for a walk? Would that be a situation to where it's more relaxed and informal, but you're really listening?
Yeah, I would make special time for it. You know, and making say, hey, we're going to have, how about on, you know, Thursday evening, we'll go out and have a light dinner, and we can, in advance, you set that up as, like, that safe space. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to cast judgment as your parent. I can, you know, certainly voice my opinion on safety matters, but, you know, I really want you to be able to talk, and I want to be able to listen and really, really practice that listening bit and making sure that the child is feeling heard.
So the number one thing for a parent is to slow down and listen. And I presume that even if you don't agree with what they're saying, don't interrupt. Let them get it out.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and also have expectations on the style of communication. You want it to be productive. You know, it is not a time for venting or arguing.
Mm-hmm.
You could even set it up as an argue-free zone.
And that would be pretty important because I presume with a girl like that, arguments are very easy to get into.
Right, and they're also easy to perpetuate. And you want to make sure that if you're interacting with someone who these arguments happen fairly readily, you want to just make sure that we're not arguing or arguing the same argument that has no answer.
Mm-hmm. Boy, I've been at a few of those.
Me too.
Yeah, it sounds like you're on a roller coaster or a Ferris wheel, round and round and round. It can be very easy.
Right.
So number one thing, the highest priority is to listen. And so you listen and you start getting some ideas. How does that go from there? You start getting a sense of where they're coming from.
I think that where you go is one of the, well, I'll kind of back up to the listening. I'd say that when we're listening, the next thing we want to do is respond to a situation and not react. So we look at it, and maybe you take your own personal, as an adult, 5-minute time out and then come back. But just not being reactive, because reactive is going to get reactive.
Oh, absolutely. They're masters at it.
Yeah. So we want to just be responsive and just say, hey, you know, and it's also okay to really take some time and just say, hey, I need to think about this before I respond to you. And to be able to come back with a well-thought-out response, I think, is greatly appreciated, and it's noticed by teenagers.
I would imagine, even if it's a situation, if you need some time to think, get back to them with your response.
Absolutely. Say, hey, I'm going to come back to you in 45 minutes, mm-hmm. and make sure that you're there in 44.
Okay, that sounds fair enough, and it's not too far in the future. Okay, well, gee, we've already just about run out of our time. Could you tell us a little bit about the SUSE of the Carolinas, what kind of kids they work with, and what they do? A short, brief, more minute or so explanation.
Okay. Well, SUSE of the Carolinas is a therapeutic wilderness program located in Old Fort, North Carolina, and we work with adolescents and pre-adolescents from 10 to 17 in a variety or with a variety of behavioral or social skills, behavioral issues, social skills issues, things of that nature. You can also see us on our website at SUSECarolinas.com for a more comprehensive idea of what we're working with. But we have a team of clinicians, and we all sort of have our own niche program.
If somebody wanted to talk to you personally or find out some more about it, more about the program, in addition to the website, would you mind sharing your email address and or the phone number of the office?
Sure. It is, my email is patricia.huntington@susecarolinas.com. And the phone number is, that's listed on our website, is 828-668-7590.
Very good. Well, thank you very much, Trish. This is Lon Woodbury. I've been talking with Trish Huntington. She's a wilderness therapist. Experienced most of her adult career has been in working in the wilderness. In the last 5 years, exclusively with girls. We've been talking about the topic, helping female teens find their voice. Well, thank you very much, Trish, and you have a good rest of the day.
Well, thank you very much. I really enjoyed it.